A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, Gateway Pundit, and all those that are joining us, this is General Flynn. I'm really honored to be able to be here today. Who's on the line for Gateway? Is that Jim or Joe?
Hi, General Flynn. This is Jim Hoft, and I have invited Katie O'Malley. I believe you may have met her along the way. She's an associate with Gateway Pundit, and she's on the line today. And then we also have Jake Lang, who is calling in, and he was going to do a little intro, and then I was going to introduce you, okay. And then we could get right into the conversation between you and Jake. So I'll see if Jake is ready to go. Jake, are you online?
Hey, guys. God bless. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Jake.
Good morning, Jake. I think we are live. So can you do you want to give a little introduction and an explanation about the Political Prisoner Podcast?
100%. Thank you so much for setting this up, Jim. You guys at Gateway Pundit are the best. Been supporting the Jan Sixers for over 2 years now. And one of the best ways we've been able to support the Jan Sixers is by telling the story from the inside. The Political Prisoner Podcast, which is the flagship podcast for Gateway Pundit, been recorded through jail phones like these with the help of my family and my assistants and other Jan 6 family members. We've been able to bring on some amazing guests. And today on the Political Prisoner Podcast, we have, such a special and an honored patriot, General Michael Flynn. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jake. I really do appreciate this. And I know people are going to be joining as we go here because we're right at the top of the hour. And I really, really do appreciate the Gateway Pundit for hosting this. I mean, this is an important time for the country, Jake. As you know, you're living it on a daily basis. I'm just honored to be here.
Amen.
General Flynn, I thought I'd give a brief introduction. Jake, a brief introduction of General Flynn.
And yes, I wanted to explore everybody who's listening. Quick, Jim, before you did that, everybody that's listening now, if we could, whoever's hosting this, if you guys could put the link to this Twitter Spaces up pinned in the top, and everybody could go and retweet this so we can get everybody in here. So before we do all the introductions and really get into the nitty-gritty, we reach as many people as possible. So everybody who's listening, please go to the Gateway Pundit's page and hit retweet on the pinned tweet right now so that, you know, we can get as many listeners in here as possible. So just go and retweet that top pinned tweet on Gateway Pundit right now.
Thank you, Jake. And we'll put that up here in a second. We're very pleased to have General Flynn and Jake with us. This is quite a combination here. General Flynn, of course, is the former National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump. Flynn was targeted in a fabricated and politically motivated prosecution by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, which lasted for years. It was a witch hunt investigation that is now thoroughly debunked. And General Flynn is a war hero and has served our country with honor, dignity, and bravery. And we are so glad that you're here with us, General. It's great that Jake is here, and I'm really glad that you two can have this conversation this morning. So we're going to sit back and let you guys discuss some of the issues that you had discussed earlier.
Well, so Jake, let me just jump in real quick. Because I know I'm watching people join, and I really do appreciate everybody that's joining. I think that this is one of the more important topics, certainly, you know, in our nation right now because of what we're dealing with. And I'm very serious when I tell people this, and I don't have any issues, you know, talking about it. I talk about it all the time. We're the United States is in a moment of peril here, and Jake and everything that we've seen related to a lot of these issues, you know, January 6th being among them, are examples of, or I would call them indicators, that put the United States of America in a place where, you know, are we on a very serious and rapid decline? And I think that's a question that has to be asked. We have to, you know, I do talk about that when I have an opportunity to speak to different groups like this one, because I do believe that we are in a period of time, period of history where we are abusing the rights, and we're abusing our Constitution, which is really the only thing that we have remaining that's kind of holding the fabric of the United States of America together. So, Jake, I appreciate I'm honored for what you're having to withstand, and you're an example of others, obviously, that have been persecuted by you know, an injustice system, right? And we have to keep talking about this. We, you know, we can't have this. We can't have somebody who's, you know, been in captivity for so long without ever seeing the light of day, you know, a trial. I want you to be able to explain to people, because there's probably people joining us just as curiosity seekers for the first time that really don't know your story. And I think it's important, Jake, for you to give us that story and what you're dealing with.
100%. Yeah. When we were able to connect for a brief call through Laura Logan the other day, you know, I just in passing was able to tell you some of the struggles of the January 6th political prisoners, how it's been 774 days I've been held without a trial. By the time my trial comes around here in June, it will be 30 months a political prisoner being fed to the wolves of a biased D.C. jury pool and biased prosecution and very corrupt DOJ, which you know more than most about. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we're seeing kind of what's only affected some political figureheads in America, such as yourself, now start to trickle down throughout all of America. We have political prisoners here that are red-blooded American patriots, small-time entrepreneurs, electricians, EMTs, police officers that are now being persecuted. They have gone from persecuting Washington, D.C. conservatives and figureheads such as yourself. Now they've reached down into the trenches of America and gone to the heartland, and they're pulling out patriots such as myself and throwing us in dungeons without speedy or fair trials, and basically making an example out of us. And so, you know, it's starting to hit home now in America, our message, a lot more. When you see it happen to people like you, it's different. But when you see it happen to people over 1,000 at this point, January 6th political prisoners such as myself, then the message drives home at a whole different level. It's a little too close to home, as they like to say, literally.
Yeah. You know, let me touch on that, because I think that this is a really important point about sort of what I, you know, this psyop that we're involved in, right? This psychological operation that we're involved in. And when you start to, you know, as you plan these things or put these things together, because this is sort of what we're going through. And so when you go after people like me, you take these first steps and you literally go in and you try to punish people at the highest levels, you know, these sort of political targets, because you disagree with their political philosophy. You disagree with the kinds of things that they're wanting to do, frankly, to help the country politically, right? And so you go after those of us like, you know, in my particular case, and I'll speak for myself, you know, just the incredible level of persecution. And so they make these things very public, right? And what it does is it puts a bit of fear into others that are in that walk of life, that are in that sort of high profile walk of life, right? Those big, you know, muckety muck political people or military people, like in my case, that think that they're going to get into government in some other respect and try to reform or try to help in any way. And what the establishment does is they're like, nope, you're not going to do this, and we're going to come after you. And it wasn't just me; it was many others, right? And then the next step is to set up something, right? Set something up where now we can go after, you know. And I don't mean to be pejorative, but you know, we're going to go after sort of the smaller targets, the smaller fish in the sea, right? And we're going to go after a lot of them, because what it does is it puts a blanket of fear over the entirety of our country. So, you know, what are people worried about? Christ, if you went to Washington, D.C. on the night of the 5th and the 6th, you know, the day of the 6th, you know, and there's a couple of million people, right? It's probably, I don't know, 3 million people. So are those 3 million people afraid that every sort of surprising knock on their door is some, you know, black SUV with two men in suits that are, you know, that are going to issue them a subpoena? Or is it a SWAT team that's about to arrest grandma? I mean, that's what this administration and this deep security state has done to the American people. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Believe me, I have every right to be sick of it. But, you know, so that's kind of what they did. Those are sort of two big ticket things. You go after the big ones and you put the fear of God into those people, you know, that are in that sort of realm. And then you go after just regular citizens and you basically put this, I call it this blanket of fear over the country. So nobody wants to go into D.C. Nobody wants to say anything. Everybody's afraid to speak up. Because they're going to be, you know, somebody's going to say, well, the Department of Justice is now going to come after you, you know? I mean, so because there's two things, and I want to talk about this briefly, Jake, if you don't mind, because you're experiencing
100%.
It. Yeah, you're experiencing it, and many others have already experienced it. And there's two things, very, very, one is very specific, and the other is just the way the Department of Justice operates.
General Flynn, sorry, one thing before you start that, I want to ask you and Gateway Pundit to retweet again the link that has Gateway Pundit has posted at the top of their page right now, so we can get as many people in before we start getting deeper into this. If Gateway Pundit and your page can both retweet
I did. Yeah, I think I did.
Thank you so much.
You're gonna challenge me, Jake. Technically here, Christ, I don't want to drop off. Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can also hear you.
Okay. All right.
I'm the marketing machine behind the January 6th movement with all my documentaries and my book I put out and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
that's the other thing too, is I want to make sure that you say how people can help you, because I know this is painful. You know, I just got off of a phone call with another person who called me up from Washington, D.C., wants some advice on the deep state. And I said, you know, unless you want to discuss severe government reform, I don't even want to talk to you, because we're in one of those places right now. So here's two things, Jake, that I want to talk about. One is something called exculpatory evidence. Yeah. evidence. Okay. And exculpatory evidence is something that I learned quite a bit about, because the FBI and the Department of Justice, but remember, folks, the FBI works for the Department of Justice, and the Attorney General is the head of the Department of Justice. And then, of course, they work for the President of the United States. So, you know, when somebody goes, well, they're appointed or whatever. No. So exculpatory evidence is evidence that is good or bad for a defendant, right? It can be good or bad. But you have to receive it. It's a Supreme Court ruling that you have to receive it. Now, exculpatory evidence could be video showing Jake trying to save somebody's life and showing how they're crushing the life of Miss Boyle, right? I mean, just crushing the life out of her. So there could be video evidence, and actually we've already seen some of that. So there's exculpatory evidence. And also exculpatory evidence about, maybe if you were able to pin some of these people down, you know, you're able to pin people like Nancy Pelosi's daughter and son-in-law. How did they know that to have a documentary crew there ready to go and do the things that they did, you know, and then that they followed up on? So just little things like that. I would love to have them in front
of a big thing.
Yeah.
A bunch of little things ran together, turned into a conspiracy.
Right.
A wicked one.
So exculpatory evidence, trust me, Jake, the Department of Justice, not only in your case, but in all these cases, is withholding exculpatory evidence. They did it to me, and they did it in a huge, huge way. And of course, it took an act. Honestly, it took a miracle to get to where I was at, where a special counsel was brought in because it was so egregious. And in my own dismissal, the Department of Justice had to admit that they committed a crime against me. And so I guarantee that there's a ton of exculpatory evidence being withheld. The second point that I want to bring up is something called, you know, it's really what incentivizes the prosecutors in our United States Department of Justice. What incentivizes them are convictions, not getting to the truth. Okay, you don't get promoted, you don't get selected for these little politically, you know, correct jobs that these bureaucrats want to get in Washington, D.C., particularly in Washington, D.C., to move up the ladder. And they don't move up the ladder. They climb over each other's backs. But they seek convictions more than they fight for the truth. And it'll be a cold day in hell when a prosecutor is standing in front of a judge saying, you know, judge, we just discovered that we withheld a whole bunch of exculpatory evidence from this defendant. And we discovered that when we looked at the exculpatory evidence, the guy's actually innocent. In fact, we're the ones that committed the crime. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. So I know it happens. So if it can happen to me, trust me, Jake, it can happen to you and the thousands of others. I actually feel, and I understand how this works. I feel so horrible that the pressure of the entirety of the government is put on the people that, like yourself and many others who have already been convicted and they're sitting in jail cells elsewhere, right? The entirety of the pressure of the United States government, that weight is immeasurable. And unless people have actually experienced it, you just don't know. And if you don't have the wherewithal to be able to fight back or nobody's helping you, like, you know, my questions are, where is Congress? Where's this weaponization committee? I want, you know what I want? I put this out the other day. I want Kevin McCarthy to, he gives all the goddamn video to Fox News instead of what the Congress should do. And this is where I want people to really, you know, this is a conversation that we need to put out on social media and in other podcasts and other places. What we need Congress to do is just establish a website and drop every single video on that website, all 40,000 hours, I guess. Put it out on that website and let the American people go to town and really dig in, because believe me, they will dig in. Lawyers that are supporting, you know, people like yourself or others, they can do it. But believe me, the American people, and all of a sudden the truth will start bubbling until it just rises to the top. And we're all of a sudden going to see, holy shit, excuse my Irish, this was a total setup. And then the last thing I'd say before I get off my platform here, Jake, and go back to you, is, you know, the United States Supreme Court, they have a role in all of this. They have a role to protect the integrity of the justice system, the judiciary, particularly the judiciary. In fact, specifically the judiciary. So when we look at somebody like you, you know, and there's constitutional issues that are being violated. You know, your rights are being violated constitutionally. 100%. And so where the hell is Justice Roberts? Where is Chief Justice Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court to look at all this and go, you know, something's not right. This just doesn't feel right. You know, and I'll speak for myself. I don't know all of the issues and all of the, I don't know the law. I'm not a lawyer, but I should probably get a freaking law degree. With all the crap I've been through, but I, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert on these issues. I have become an expert on certain components of them. But one of the things that I do know is I do know that the United States Supreme Court, the justices on that court, especially the Chief Justice, they have an obligation to protect the integrity of the Constitution and the integrity of the judiciary, because they're the highest court in the land. And so I kind of question, like, where the hell are they? I mean, they cannot sit there and say, well, we didn't know. We're not aware. You know, that's as bad as the Nazis in World War II saying, well, I was just following orders. We didn't know.
Yes, sir.
So I'm sick of it. I want people, and if I sound like I'm upset, I am upset. You know, if I sound like I'm determined, I am determined. And I'm determined to make sure that we don't lose this country. We don't lose this country. And I want people to understand from me, from my perspective, and I'm, you know, and people, some may be hearing from me for the first time. Some may have heard from me say, you know, other things. And, you know, I'm not perfect. None of us are, Jake. But I do know that we're in deep trouble in this country. And it's because your example of what you're withstanding and then being able to just, you know, for us to be able to do this, because the people are going to go, oh, he's able to do a podcast, you know, go sit with him for a month, go sit with him for a year. It's been
try 26.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, I'll stop, get off my high horse and turn it back to you, Jake.
Thank you. Hey, God bless you, General Flynn. For everyone joining us right now, it's Jake Lang, January 6th political prisoner, live on the Political Prisoner Podcast, hosted by Gateway Pundit, here interviewing General Michael Flynn, a great patriot who served our country. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Retweet this link right now, guys. I have to agree with every single point you make. I'm going to start at the beginning and work my way through. We have such a problem with the exculpatory evidence here in January 6th. We're talking 26 months later. They're now releasing to one single news station 42,000 hours of video that have to do with January 6th. When, you know, people, literally hundreds of them, have already been adjudicated. We have already had people cop out to 7-year, 8-year prison sentences. A former police officer, Thomas Webster, sentenced to 10 years in prison. Where was his whole entire crowd sourced? Dig through all of the evidence so people can find exculpatory evidence, such as the massive police brutality and misconduct that transpired on January 6th. This is such a poignant issue because they have hidden it. They covered up the death of Roseanne Boylan. They murdered Ashley Babbitt. Michael Byrd was paraded and lauded as a hero. There was no investigation, thorough investigation into the murder and the deaths of 4 unarmed American citizens at the Capitol. Yet the peaceful patriots who were trying to protect our country and defend those people's lives have been rounded up from every single state in the entire nation and thrown into gulags like myself and been abused in these gulags without having any access to our exculpatory evidence, our discovery, which is the whole entire wide berth of evidence against us, so we can analyze it, get expert witnesses on it, ballistic experts, crowd control experts, all this different stuff. There is a multitude of different industries and legal minds that need to comb through this, and independent journalists that need to comb through these 42,000 hours, because we're literally talking 1,000 people's lives are on the line here for anywhere from, you know, probation to 10 years in prison. Or in my case, I'm looking at 10 to 15 years legitimately if I'm convicted of the charges that I'm going to be held on and with a biased DC liberal hating conservative jury pool here in Washington, D.C. this June. But the exculpatory evidence is such an important issue because it gets down to the truth of January 6th. And here's my first plug. We have already combed through what was available and dug through everything we could. In June of 2022, we put out on Gateway Pundit the Truth About January 6th documentary through my website, j6truth.org. And it is now the most watched video ever on Rumble at over 1.8 million views. And that's how hungry and thirsty, General, that the American people are for the truth about January 6th, that it's now the most watched video ever on our only free speech video hosting platform. And so that was, you know, released by Gateway Pundit and myself at j6truth.org. And it's only scratching the surface of the horrific accounts of police brutality, the very suspicious acts of probable FBI agents and maybe Antifa members, and the further conspiracy that Nancy Pelosi and the sergeant at arms and all of the Washington, D.C. swamp held President Trump back from bringing the National Guard there and creating a more peaceful and calm atmosphere rather than letting the Capitol Police launch munitions and pepper spray and tear gas and pepper ball bullets and rubber bullets and flash grenades into a peaceful crowd that basically set us off into a frenzy where people were dying left and right. Mm-hmm. So the exculpatory evidence is huge. And thank you for bringing that up, because it's now just 26 months later, just beginning to scratch the surface of what's needed to have been done for the justice of hundreds of Americans. So that's the first point that you brought up. The second point is the swamp attitude behind January 6th and behind all of this, that these prosecutors, these DOJ, U.S. Attorney's Office officials and members, the U.S. Marshals, all the people that are involved in the illegal detainment and imprisonment of prisoners of war, January 6th political prisoners, are doing this all to add accolades and notches on their belt. They're pressuring these poor American citizens, blue-collar people, into horrific plea deals by literally looming over their head obstruction of Congress charge, which carries a maximum 20-year sentence. Mm-hmm. And they are pressuring people, saying, well, if you take the plea deal, you get 2, 3, 5, 6 years, whatever it is. But if you don't and you get found guilty at trial, you're looking at 10, 20 years of real hard time in some of the worst prisons in America. The federal prison system is a war zone. I've been to 12 different prisons since I've been locked up. They keep moving me around. They got me on diesel therapy. I've seen the worst of it. I've seen stabbings. I've seen brutal assaults by the D.C. prison guards that have almost permanently injured and have permanently injured some Gen 6 defendants beyond recognition. And we're talking no sunlight for 15 months at a time, no haircuts, no hygiene, you know, having to lock in yourself for 14 days at a time for refusing a COVID test, a nose swab, not being able to see your family for 24 months, not even a video visit or an in-touch visit, in-person visit. We're seeing horrific constitutional abuses, habeas corpus, unusual, cruel, and unusual punishment to people that have not even been found guilty of a crime, that are the true American patriots that stood up for liberty free and fair elections on January 6th. If they're willing to treat good, solid American citizens like this, you know, it just shows how depraved our entire justice system is. And all of the people that are working in it, they're complicit in the torture and ritual abuse of human beings, of Jan Sixers, for the last 26 months. And God willing, one day justice will be served to those people who have used this as a career opportunity, the prosecutors who have withheld the exculpatory evidence. That's a Brady violation. The judges who have opined their liberal opinions in their sentencing hearings to the January Sixers, saying horrific things like Trump's a charlatan, you know, you guys are insurrectionists. No one's been charged with insurrection. You know, all of the people that are complicit in this are using this opportunity to, like you said, to scare into submission all of the onlookers, the American people out there that are looking on to us, just the same as they did to you in your witch hunt trial. And, you know, the final thing is that We need to push back and band together on this, and we do need the help of our Congress, and we do need the help of our Supreme Court judges. I think that right now, one of the most important things that we can do, the people who have power out there, to pressure our Congress, our representative branch, is they need to do a judicial oversight committee. They need to do a congressional hearing on why are judges from January 6th defendants giving their liberal opinions and their extreme progressive opinions and anti-constitutional opinions in their sentencing of the January 6ers? Is there a larger thing at play here? Why are they being treated like unequal protection under the law? Their 14th Amendment is being violated. There needs to be a weaponization, like you said, committee over overhaul, where they get down to the nitty-gritty of why the FBI is going after Catholics and Jan Sixers and school board parents, you know, that are saying we don't want the transgender and Black Lives Matter critical race theory ideology spread in the classroom. We just want math and arithmetic and algebra. We want reading skills. We don't need this to be a place where, you know, kids come home wearing gay pride flags. We just want this to be a school, and they're being put on FBI watch lists.
Jake, I just want to quickly jump in if I can. We have General Flynn for about 3 or 4 more minutes. So I just want to give you that heads up.
Yeah. Let me just. Thank you, Katie. And thank you, Jake. Let me just add a couple of things. And because I to prepare today, just to be thinking about it, you know, I am a big student of the Constitution, and I want to read to this audience briefly a couple of things out of our Constitution, right? Amendment 5 and Amendment 6, and then part of our Declaration of Independence that pertains to what it is that we're dealing with. And again, if we don't have these things, we don't have a rule of law, we don't have a justice system, and we don't have a country. So, you know, Amendment 5, you know, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. So that doesn't pertain to this. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. This also doesn't pertain to this. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be, this is really where Amendment 5 of our Constitution, of the Articles, pertains, without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just consumption. I mean, you know, the Fifth Amendment pertains directly to this case. The Sixth Amendment: in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury, which I'll add, you will not get in Washington, D.C., an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Now, in the Declaration of Independence, it says, on the sort of the second half, it says, and they're really talking about, they're talking about the king in this case, right? They're talking about this, and I'll describe it as the overreaching federal government, where he, and I'll say the overreaching federal government, has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing the government's assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. This overreaching government has made judges dependent on their will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. I mean, that basically says that we have a bought and paid for judiciary system. And Justice Roberts, I wish you were listening to this, because you need to get control of this mess that we have right now in this country, where the majority of the American people do not trust the justice system. And then the third short paragraph here is that the government has erected a multitude of new offices. God, we know that. I know that. And they sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. I mean, if that's not, that's written almost 250 years ago, folks, and it pertains to what we're dealing with today. And our founders knew that then, and they know it now. And here we are, we're facing it. We're facing it again. This is a modern day, you know, this is a modern day, I hate to say it, man, this is a modern era of time in the United States of America, where we are going to either decide that we have a country built on the rule of law, or we don't. And I want Congress, this new weaponization subcommittee, to start talking about it. I mean, where are our elected representatives? Why is it that I'm on this thing? This should be an entire weaponization committee, subcommittee should be listening to this and certainly talking about it. You know,
because you're brave and bold, Mr.
Well,
Flynn.
I mentioned one other thing to a friend of mine this morning, because I was really at a point, and I'm sorry I have to run, because I'm trying to get a message out to many other people that you know, the weaponization subcommittee, because it's one tool. It's not the tool. It's one tool. But that subcommittee, they should be issuing like 1,000 subpoenas, right? And I've said, subpoena me. I'd like to come on that, you know, just subpoena, because we are in a trick right now in this country. And so anyway, folks, and for the Gateway Pundit, thank you very much for allowing me some time on here to spew my two cents. And for everybody and anybody that's listening, I mean, you know, I want you to try to help Jake and help all these J6 people. And as our Department of Justice, our Department of Injustice said recently, you know, probably a month and a half ago or so, and it was either Garland or one of his spokespeople said, this year they're going to come after like another 1,000 cases. They're going after more people. So don't think that's why I said right off the bat, they want people to be afraid of them. And when people are afraid of them, one, that's not healthy for a republic. And two, that's not healthy for them. And I'll leave it back to you, Katie and Jake and Jim Hoff at the Gateway Pundit. Thank you guys so much. God bless you all. And God, and Jake, I will definitely offer my prayers to you today and every day. Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much. We are truly in God's hands, General Flynn. Thank you so much for joining me on the Political Prisoner Podcast. God bless you. It's great to have support from the upper ranks here of the conservative movement in America. So Godspeed to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, General, for joining us this morning. We know that you're very busy. Thanks for this time and your words of wisdom. That was really powerful. So thank you, yes. And Jake, for this awesome. This time. And really exceptional, Jim, exceptional interview.
Yes, amazing. Jim, I wanted to, while we have a couple listeners here, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, if you have some time, brother.
Sure. That'd be great.
Yeah, so give us your synopsis on General Flynn's ideas behind getting Congress involved in the Weaponization Committee to really start to advocate on behalf of the Jan Sixers and being the leader of the Gateway Pundit, the founder of one of the, I mean, most trusted names in conservative news right now, has been skipped over by Kevin McCarthy for giving this this video to the leader in the January 6th reporting. What do you think Congress can do to directly help us out? And what's your calls to action for the people who are listening right now to help out the Jan Sixers?
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, you know, a couple of things that General Flynn said that really struck me. One is he's very much he's studied this. He understands what's going on. And thank God he's not afraid to speak out. He's such a patriot. And he has a little bit of understanding of what you may be going through. You know, we saw what they did to him. And it was also very powerful for our listeners. General Flynn also called out Chief Justice John Roberts, get involved, because we are losing our Justice Department. And everyone on the thread today understands that. Every single person listening. The other part that was very interesting between you and you, Jake, and General Flynn was the part about exculpatory evidence and how much they've hidden from the not just the prisoners, but the American public. They had to build a narrative, Jake, as you know, so that people would be angry and that they would be that you would be their target. Now that's starting to flip. And now the truth is coming out. And just last night, we put up another video on the Gateway Pundit. This was Patty McMurray. And there was 250 people let into the entrance into the U.S. Capitol, waved in. The guards stood by, and they're just walking right in. Now, those people today can expect the FBI to have 30 armed guards crash into their door because they were let into the U.S. Capitol, not understanding that they were breaking any laws, nor should they have been. There was no warning. There was no threats. They had no idea that this would have been an infraction of the law. And so here they are today being punished. Another thing that struck me as I was listening to you, Jake, and I'm throwing these things out. But the other thing that struck me is, you know, for the listeners there, this week, many of you saw this execution style murder in St. Louis, Missouri. And as Gateway Pundit, for all of you, is based in St. Louis. In St. Louis, we're seeing numerous people who have had run-ins with the law, dozens of run-ins with the law, and they're on the street and they're committing violent crimes. And what we have with January 6th are people like yourself, Jake, who have never been involved in any infraction with the law, maybe a speeding ticket. And these hundreds of people are being rounded up and treated worse than killers and violent criminals in our country. And obviously, there's something very, very wrong with our system when this is happening.
Yes, I mean, thank you for your analysis on that too, Jim. You're always on point, and that's why you guys get the reporting and the leadership. It comes down top down, the trickle down economy at Gateway Pundit for all your guys writing, writers there and staff is amazing. But it is truly baffling just to compare the way we see the recidivist criminals in the rest of the country have a revolving door for them to commit crime after crime after crime. But because the January Sixers represent the Constitution, conservatism, patriotism, the family values that we have here in this country, we are being, we are being attacked and held so gruesomely because of what we represent, not because of what we did. And, you know, it's also why they attack General Flynn and people like Bannon and people like all of the Trump, President Trump, is because of what we represent, not because of what we did. They do far worse things before they brush their teeth in the morning than any Jan Sixer has ever done in their life. And we're being attacked because of our value system, what we represent. We represent a godly Judeo-Christian nation, and they are coming after God and our values. And that's why we're sitting in jail, not because we're any different from any Antifa insurrection for the 570 riots that happened in 2020, not because we're even close to that, but because of what we represent.
Absolutely. Well put, Jake. You know, we have a couple people online, and we're going to wrap this up in probably about 5, 6, 7 minutes. Sure. But there's a gentleman online. I was going to give him speaking abilities, Jake, and that is our friend Philip Anderson, if that's okay. And he could say a couple words. We don't have a lot of time, Philip, but it'd be great if you wanted to talk to Jake and just explain briefly how you and Jake are connected.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, that's my brother. Thanks, Jim.
Let's see. Philip, are you there?
Everyone that's listening, please retweet this. Follow myself. Follow the Gateway Pundit. Follow General Michael Flynn. Follow Philip Anderson right now. Just click on our little thing there and hit follow and retweet this this Twitter Spaces so everyone can be informed of the January 6th political prisoner plight and the good people in the movement that are standing up and speaking out for the truth, which you're about to hear one of the most harrowing and gruesome stories of January 6th, Philip Anderson's story, how he's connected to myself and the murder of Roseanne Boylan.
Yes, Jim, I'm here. Sorry, I didn't hear what you said because, you know, like when you add someone, it's loading. You don't hear what's said while it's loading. But yeah, I'm here.
Philip Anderson, welcome to the Political Prisoner Podcast. My best friend. I love you, brother.
I love you too, Jake. Thank you very much for saving my life. And thank you, you know, for all the advice you've given me and everything. I really, really appreciate it.
Well,
Jake,
you know,
Jake, you want to tell us how you're connected?
Yeah, that's God's grace right there, Philip. He put me there, and he put all those brave patriots there to support and to defend this country and help one another. I was just doing my duty as an American citizen, brother. No need to thank me, brother.
Well, I feel the need, man. God bless you, Jake. Seriously, it isn't right. It just makes me angry, man. Like, you know, you have this really great attitude. I don't think I'm ever going to have a good attitude when it comes to the left. I'm always going to hate these people for what they've done. I'm never going to forgive them. I just can't because I see them not changing. They're not going to change. I don't see them changing. They're just going to keep doing this, you know, evil, filthy stuff.
Well, you know, Philip, we can win them over because God is not limited. He is a strong God. He reveals himself to us in his son, Jesus. And Jesus forgives all sins. He says, thou without sin cast the first stone. So, you know, just I know plenty of people on the left side of the aisle that have come to know God, come to know the truth and accept conservative values. And they're some of our strongest proponents now. So no one's too far in the dark to be saved. And Philip, I want you to tell to the hundreds of people listening here and the thousands that will be listening later, tell them about the police brutality on January 6th and how as a black American, the Black Lives Matter protests, they did this massive protest over all 2020, and you've been completely ignored by the leftist media, by Black Lives Matter organizations, because you were nearly killed by police brutality. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to understand, guys, I want you all to understand that everything the media said about January 6th was a lie. I mean, there's literally hundreds and thousands of witnesses that they could have called forward to talk on the media, on the news, or during the January 6th committee, myself included. I'm one of the biggest witnesses. I mean, I was holding the hand of Roseanne Boylan. When she was murdered. And they would not call me forward. They're trying to hide my name. They're trying to hide my existence. You have to understand the entire reason why Trump supporters ever like went up the steps of the Capitol in the first place is because they were killing people. They started killing Trump supporters. You know, they killed Benjamin Phillips and they pushed a guy off the railing. You know, they're shooting. And they're shooting flashbangs and explosives into the crowd, and that's what made people angry, and that's the reason why they started taking ground. It's not they'll tell you, oh, they just showed up and they got mad because Trump lost the election, whatever. It's a lie. It's all a lie. You can see it on video now. I mean, the media never showed it to you because of the Gateway Pundit, and, you know, and others like them. First, it was the Gateway Pundit. They put out the video. They put out the video that shows how the police were the ones that started it all. You know, they shot the explosives and started killing people, and that's how it happened. You know, and also, like with me and Roseanne and with Jake, you have to understand, I don't know, a C2 gas or what, but I wasn't able to breathe, so I face plant. So, yeah, I hear you. Hold on. So, you know, I get gassed, and I fall on my face. You know, everyone else is getting gassed, and they start falling on their faces, and the police gas us. And they shoot us with all this mace, and they're beating us, you know, and they're shooting us point blank with rubber bullets, you know. And that's what killed Roseanne Boylan, because they're doing all of that, and they continue beating and pushing people on top of us until there's 30 people directly on top of us. And they do it for minute after minute after minute.
I remember.
And they lied about all of it. They lied about all of it.
It's so important, too, because – you know, we have this situation. I'm going to break down the situation with some timestamps for everybody and a little bit more detail there. I know that it's traumatic for both me and you to relive this, but, you know, the truth needs to be told. On January 6th, we went down to the Capitol after Trump was done speaking at the Ellipse by the Washington Monument at about 1:30 p.m. he finished. And we got down there about 2 p.m. By the time we got down there, My little crew of Jewish people that I was hanging out with. By the time we got down there, we couldn't see the front lines of it. So we came up to the front and I scurried up the scaffolding to get a better view of what was going on because I could smell pepper spray and tear gas in the air. And I'm videotaping and I see the police start pulling people over the bike rack, shooting munitions into the crowd. This is at 2 p.m. And way before the Capitol was ever breached. And so they are riling up a crowd into a frenzy and assaulting and maiming people. They're shooting people with rubber bullets in the face and pepper ball bullets that are literally exploding through people's cheeks. And their faces are maimed permanently. I mean, massive, massive blood everywhere. And flash grenades that are causing heart attacks. Two people died from the flash grenades in the crowd from heart attacks. And then so... basically, the protesters have to start defending themselves because they're getting beaten mercilessly by the Capitol Police that had a vendetta out for Trump supporters that day.
And yeah, so, minute after minute after minute, you know, as they're killing me and Roseanne Boylan, you know, Roseanne dies there, and I'm also laying there. I look all dead and unconscious and stuff. I was unconscious, and, you know, until Jake brought me to, you know. We had to understand people heard our screams and our pleas for help. We're literally begging for our lives as loud as we can for minute after minute after minute, and the Capitol Police continue killing us. And they keep pushing us and doing and beating us until we're at the until we're standing at the entrance of the tunnel, you know. And they're doing this in front of hundreds and thousands of Trump supporters. And that's when the when those Capitol Police officers were pulled down by the Trump supporters and dragged down the steps because they murdered Roseanne Boylan and they almost killed me. So during the impeachment hearing and during the January 6th committee, they show these videos of Trump supporters, you know, charging at Capitol Police officers. They say, look at how these Capitol Police officers are getting attacked by Trump supporters. It's all a lie. They did that because they murdered Roseanne Boylan. They almost killed me. They were going overboard with the police brutality, and Trump supporters were retaliating against them after screaming Amen. At them for minutes to stop being so violent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's all right to defend ourselves, the people around us, and our country. And so this situation transpired inside the tunnel, the West Terrace Tunnel, where the president usually walks out of to do the inauguration. And all of this, including the videos of Philip almost dying and my, you know, pulling him to the volunteer medics who saved his life. All this is available on j6truth.org, and it's covered extensively on Gateway Pundit. If you just type in Jake Lang in the search bar or Philip Anderson, you will see literally dozens of articles in the nitty gritty, the videos of Philip Anderson and myself, you know, in this situation. And so at about the Trump supporters were inside that tunnel for a solid hour, going back and forth with the police. Police were holding their ground. Trump supporters were holding their ground. Other places in the Capitol, the police just walked the Trump supporters in. But for some reason, inside this tunnel, this very confined space, they deployed steel batons and chemical weapons on people. And Philip, at about 4 p.m. in the afternoon, got caught in one of the most disgusting barrages and planned attacks by the Capitol Police. They went on this like baton death march, pushing the protesters forward outside the tunnel. And what they did is they pummeled people onto the ground and created like a swimming pool of human bodies where Philip and Roseanne Boylan, who later died, were at the bottom of this dog pile of humans. And they were being chemically sprayed with OC spray, which is it's a military grade form of pepper spray. And it causes your snot to just fly out of your nose and your lungs to barely be able to get breath in them, and tear gas on top of that, and people stepping on them and police hitting them with batons. And so Philip gets knocked unconscious. He gets trampled and beaten by the police and Roseanne Boylan as well. She succumbs to those injuries while she's in my arms. I'm trying to save her life and pull her out of the bottom of this dog pile. I realize that she's unsavable, that she went home to be with the Lord. But I see Philip, he's in a better circumstance. He's got a little more of his upper body where I was able to kind of get him in a bear hug and drag him down away from these murderous Capitol Police officers while he's completely unconscious, his tongue's hanging out of the side of his mouth. And I brought him to the volunteer medics who later saved his life and brought him back too. And, you know, this story has been completely washed by the media. You will never hear it on anywhere but the very few platforms we have: Gateway Pundit, sometimes Newsmax, Real America's Voice, some other independent journalists and stuff. But this is so important because this was the impetus for all of the defensive, you know, actions that I took, that they, you know, later caught on camera, and that other protesters took to defend other people from dying, that they've used and played over and over and over again at the J6 select fraud hearings by the unselect committee. And, you know, Philip Anderson's story is so important because, you know, he's a Black American and he almost died on the steps of the Capitol by police brutality.
And also, Jake, it's really important that people realize that this is just further proof that January 6th was a setup, because when they wanted us to be able to get inside the building, we were easily able to get inside the building. But the second they get all their videos and pictures, they're like, okay, we got what we need. Now let's just go ahead and push them out, beat the shit out of them, you know, murder them, kill them, doesn't fucking matter. And that's what they did. The second they didn't want us in that building anymore, we were not able to get inside that building. Mm-hmm. They beat the living shit out of us, and that's how you know it was a setup. They could have had people posted at all the door entrances, you know, with guns or with their gas masks, their tear gas, or whatever they wanted to use, their rubber bullets. No one would have gotten anywhere close to the Capitol. It was a setup. Without a shadow of a doubt, it was a setup.
You know, I agree in many ways. I also, you know, we're going to wrap this up here in a few minutes, Philip, because, you know, I'm on prison time here, brother. I got to go in a little bit. But, you know, it's really important for the American people to remember that what January 6th was, you know, January 6th was a movement of a million people that showed up at the Capitol, peacefully protest a stolen election. And our voices, our very consent was taken from us. And, you know, we stood our ground to tyranny. And they murdered and attacked us. We had no weapons. And we defended the lives of the people around us. And we defended our country. And, you know, this is the exact action that the Founding Fathers outlined in our Declaration of Independence. They outlined it in our Second Amendment. They outlined it in the entire framework of our country, that this is what American citizens have the right to do, to protest and to redress our grievances to our government. And when we're attacked, to defend ourselves. And so, Philip, you're a brave hero. You're a January 6th patriot forever, brother. My entire heart goes out to you for showing up at the Capitol to defend our country and defend our integrity of our elections and our Constitution.
Well, and they stole the election. They stole the election, Jake. They banned me from Facebook, banned me from Instagram, banned me from Twitter, banned me from GoFundMe, banned me from Airbnb, banned me from TikTok. That's not a fair election. That's bullshit, man. They rigged everything against us. They rigged the media against us, rigged Hollywood against us, rigged the institutions against us, rigged academia, you know, the colleges, the schools. They rigged big tech against us. You know, they rigged every fucking thing against us. And then they say, oh, by the way, the election was not rigged against you. No, man, they stole that election. That was not fair at all.
I like how you put that. 100%. So, you know, what we have to do is now we have to come together as we the people and love and support the Jan 6 patriots who have already given 26 months of their lives and years more, God forbid, here in these prisons, and support us and support people like Philip Anderson and his independent, his new social media accounts that he's been able to, a couple of them, to get back. He's got Twitter. So go give Philip Anderson a follow. Go to j6truth.org. Click on the links to donate to the January 6th legal fund. If God puts it on your heart to be generous and to help out our legal battles, there is literally hundreds of people who still need attorneys, hundreds more that have appeals that need to be filed because they've been so brutally, had so much miscarriage of justice inside those courtrooms in D.C. That they have to file appeals because they're facing 7, 8, 9, 10 years in prison. And so they're trying to get their lives back on appeals. So the J6 legal fund is really important for our cause right now. So please go over to j6truth.org, watch our documentaries, watch the video of me and Philip Anderson. I mean, there's nothing more important than knowing these facts with your own eyes and with your own heart, and then going and being a force multiplier. Share the videos, share the fundraisers, donate, and get deep into prayer with us. We need prayer warriors who are willing to every single night say the names of the Jan Sixers and exalt our God and ask him to bring justice, to rain it down, cascade it down like the rivers and like the mountain springs down onto the Jan Sixers and their families, because there's a lot of hurt right now in our country. And starts with the Jan Sixers. Fixing this country starts with the Jan Sixers. So thank you, Philip, for joining me today on the Political Prisoner Podcast. May God bless America, and thanks everyone who joined us today. We're truly blessed to have so many great supporters, and thank you, Jim Hoff and Gateway Pundit and General Flynn, my star guest today, for coming and supporting the January 6th political prisoners, the patriots who defended this country versus tyranny on January 6th, 2021. God bless.
Thank you, Jake Lang, and thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to cut this off now. I hate to do that, but Jake, it was a wonderful discussion you had. I'm so glad Philip Anderson joined us to talk about someone who is close to you, the fact that you saved his life on January 6th. That was very important that people got to hear that. So thank you, everyone. Please support Jake Lang and all the political prisoners. And God bless you all. Have a great day.